Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
Happy Sunday. Welcome to Just Believe Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Tarvis. I am on the show, Just Believe Radio, every Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. We try to cover lots of different subjects. We're doing something a little different today, which I'm kind of excited about because, you know, normally I'm doing psychic readings and talking to paranormal investigators and, you know, people in the field of holistic health and spirituality and things like this. But I had this couple come up, and they are musicians and writers, songwriters, and great talents in the music industry, and I really wanted to do a show on music, and I have my daughter here with me today, my daughter Kristen, who's 19, and she's I'm trying to get her to co-host with me, but she's very shy, so we'll see how much we can get out of her today. But she is actually the musical one in the family. She's got all the creative genes apparently fell in her lap, so We're gonna see what we can do with her today. I call her Kiki. That's her nickname. So if you hear Kiki, that's Kristen. Same thing. Same person. She's sitting here next to me. And Kristen, say hi to the world.
Hi.
She's so weird. Okay. So anyway, my name's Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive, author of the book Just Believe, and, of course, radio show host for the show Just Believe. We are on, like I said earlier, every Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And each week we have special guests who are experts in the field of spirituality, holistic health, metaphysics, paranormal, subjects like that, anything under the metaphysical umbrella, really. If you are an expert in one of those fields or you know of an expert in one of those fields that might be interested in being on the show, feel free to shoot me an email. My email address is lisa@lisatarvis.com. That's lisa@lisatarves.com. And I will certainly take a look at it. And booking right now in, I think, January, right now, January, February. Anyone listening, the chat room is open. If you're listening live and you'd like to go into the chat room, it is open. And if you'd like to call in with any questions for my guests, please feel free to call in at 347-945-7246. You can call that number and just listen to the show. But if you have a question, you should press 1 after you call the number, and I will see you in the queue, and I will get you on the show as soon as there's an appropriate moment. Again, that number is 347-945-7246. So today we're having we have as our guests Amy and Adams. They're going to be sharing their inspiring upbeat music with folks in the Twin. This is what they do. This is their bio. Amy and Adams share their inspiring upbeat music with folks in the Twin Cities, outstate, Midwest, and beyond. For nearly 2 decades, they've touched audiences of all ages at restaurants, coffee shops, wine bars, wineries, schools, churches, libraries, city concert series, ski resorts, casinos, art fairs, elder care facilities, and weddings. Amy and Adams has been featured live on WCCO AM as well as other radio and TV stations throughout Minnesota and Iowa. Amy and Mark Adams Weston, and Adams Weston is hyphenated, and we'll ask them about that in a bit, found each other in Stillwater after decades of playing in their own worlds. They've produced 5 well-received CDs that have garnered national and international airplay. Roots Music Report declared them as, quote, as fresh and entertaining as folk music has ever been, end quote. But Amy Ann Adams covers a musical territory far wider than folk. They've dubbed it eclectic folk rock, tin pan alley / bluegrass. Great tunes from the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, as well as their own infectious original songs are wrapped in an accompaniment of guitars, ukuleles, mandolin, keyboard, flutes, and stunning harmonies that will bring a song to your lips and a hop to your step. So I would like to introduce right now Amy and Mark Adams Weston. Are you there, guys?
Yeah.
We are. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. It's great to do something different. I think that music touches all of us. I know for me personally, and I know for my daughter who's sitting with me. Say hi again, Kristen.
Hello.
She's not going to say a lot, I don't think. Anyway, we're really touched by music, lyrics. Lyrics for me. Are you more lyrics or music?
Both.
I really love lyrics. I don't know. I like the music too, but it's the story, and exactly, it's the story and in the lyrics that I really get into, and I think it completely change your mood. You know, you can be so down, and I remember when Kristen was a young teenager, I would listen, you know, she'd be having some kind of drama going on, you know, as they do in middle school and high school, and she'd be listening to this music, and I'm like, Kristen, change the kind of music you listen to. You're going to make yourself so depressed. You know, listen to something upbeat. I've always thought that it's just really one of those things that it can change, you know, your thinking and your mood and your outlook. I'm assuming you guys agree because I've listened to some of your songs and I've listened to the lyrics and, you know, and the music and, you know, you're telling a story in every one of your songs.
That's right. That's right. In music, we've seen the effects that music have on people, and we've also experienced it ourselves. There's been times when I have not really been feeling very well and considered maybe canceling a show, but you don't want to cancel a show because it affects a lot of people, and so I've just gone on stage feeling kind of crummy and start playing, and pretty soon I just forget about my physical being and just get into the music, and it's really wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Tell me how you guys met. How did you meet, and how did you come up with Amy and Adams for the name of your group?
About 20 years ago, was working in a music store in Stillwater, Minnesota, and on Friday and Saturday nights, we would have what is called we'd turn the basement into a music venue where people locally and actually traveling musicians, I would book them in on Friday and Saturday nights. And about once a month, I would have what we call an open stage or an open mic where, you know, you wouldn't necessarily book anybody, but you'd invite people to come up and play a song or two. And Amy came up and sang, and I loved her voice, and I'd had a song that I'd written that required a young woman's voice to sing it, and she was the perfect voice for it. So that's kind of how we met, and we were both in other relationships that weren't necessarily working, and a year passed, and finally we freed ourselves up, and we had our first date, and then the rest is...
And we decided we liked each other's music and we liked each other, and so then we started making music together, and we used my first name and his last name, which was Adams at the time, came up with Amy and Adams, and then shortly thereafter we got married and we just kept our names, even though legally we hyphenated our last name.
So I say it's her first name and my maiden name because they really don't have a name when guys change their their name after they're married.
That's a great story. It's a nice story. I wanna play. I wanna get people to understand some of this music that you guys do. So I wanna play a couple minutes of your first song. And we talked about the order already. Because when I uploaded the music, I didn't put the name of the song because that would have been too simple, I guess. anyway, so I tried to put them in an order that I could find them easily in my queue, and I wasn't thinking title wise, but we went over it. Song number one, that you guys know what song number one is. Can you introduce that song a little bit?
Well, this is a song called "You're Not Alone." And actually, the second song you're going to play, "Let Me Be," I wrote 20 years earlier. And I was kind of looking back at those 20 years on my life from my 20s to my 40s and realizing that at every step in my life, even when I was down and felt like life maybe had no purpose, like going through divorces and major breakups and, hard times, I realized that there were people that had come into my life, even if it was just for a brief moment or for a long period of time, that had given me a connection to spirit, to light, to joy. Some people would call it God, but that I have always been connected, and that's I wanted to write this song for me and for people who feel like they're alone. Because I don't believe if we really look at the things in our life that have touched us, the people that have touched us, we can see that we're really not alone. And that's what this song's about.
All right. I'm going to play the first song, and we're just going to listen to a minute or two of it. And so song number one, and it's called...
You're Not Alone.
You're Not Alone. Thank you. Forgot already. You're Not Alone. Here we go.
Still sitting by my window, 20 years have passed since I first wrote the words, "Won't you let me be?" I have traveled many highways, rode their ups and downs, stumbled along paths I could not see. I have stopped and asked direction from the wise man and the fool. I have listened and at times I've plunged ahead. Someone told me somewhere, son, learn this simple rule. Though it's taken years to hear just what she said. You must wash your soul in the river of life. You must walk among your brothers, heart unclosed. Shut your eyes and you may find your way. Take the new, you gotta give up what you know. And you must bleed if you clean your wounds, but don't lose heart, 'cause from the start you're not alone. Now I look behind me, I see a string of souls, each one touched me at a certain time of need. Some bore me on their shoulders, some took me by the hand, some came simply to plant a seed. There's always been connection, each step along the way, and when I'd walk a path brand new to me, someone gave me love and comfort, be it night or be it day. In the echoes I can hear them say to me, you must wash your soul in the river of life. You must walk among your sisters, heart unclosed.
Okay, that was You're Not Alone. That was it's about a 6-minute song. We played about 2.5 minutes of it. I really like that. Now, would you classify that as one of the folkier tunes that you guys have?
I would say folkier. So, yeah, probably.
My daughter's laughing at me for using the word folkier. I don't
sometimes
know if it's actually
it's
a word.
It's hard to classify your own music sometimes.
Yeah,
I
mean,
it's
that
so
was
close to your own heart that it, you don't know where it fits.
Yeah, I think it sounds, I mean, that to me, that's what that one had. I don't know, it just had a little bit of a folk kind of theme to it, I think. Again, you know, for someone like me who's really into the lyrics, you know, great lyrics. I mean, just really, and a lot, you know, so many songs, like when you listen to songs now, they're repeating the same line over and over and over, and it's like, you know, really, you don't have to.
That drives me crazy.
I know. You don't have to really put a lot of work into learning the lyrics to a lot of the songs out there today. But this is a story. I mean, you told a story in that song.
Thank you.
And I think that's pretty cool. So what do you who influenced both of you separately and together, really, you know, musically growing up, or, you know, when you started playing?
That's a loaded question. There, when I look back, I would have to say almost everything I've spent time listening to has influenced me in some way. Even if it's something I didn't like, I know I didn't want to sound that way, or I didn't want to say those things, and I wanted to say it this way. And that can be an influence as well as the things you love. And I spent my youth listening to the Beatles and the British Invasion and the singer-songwriters of the late 60s, early 70s, and I still love that stuff. And I didn't realize it till I got older, but things that have also influenced me have been the things I listened to my parents playing. So I'm taking all those songs that maybe I didn't fit into my generation, but I heard as a child and into adulthood from my parents' generation, and I love that stuff. I love that music, and that is, so many influences.
I guess I go back a little farther than Amy, so my biggest influence would be my mother and my father. My mother was a professional singer and who became a housewife and mother, and still had her hand in the ring, and would drag her 4 little children around with her to do shows at Kiwanis clubs, Lions clubs, and things like that. So I grew up listening to songs with melodies in them and songs with great lyrics in them from Irving Berlin and singers like Perry Como and Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, Dinah Shore, and then the absolutely stunning Nat King Cole, people like that who demanded wonderful songs because they were such great singers. And then, of course, I got into the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Allman Brothers, Pink Floyd, a lot of things, and got into swing and bluegrass. And so, like Amy, I have a whole lot of influences, but my biggest influence is probably my mother. As far as
if you were going with her while she was performing, then you actually were on the business end of it.
And she trotted us around, and we performed too. We call ourselves the Adams Family Singers, and did shows as young as like 6 and 7. My grandma played the piano, and my mom and dad, and my 2 sisters and brother and I would do about an hour show, each of us doing some songs, and so it was.
I wish I could have seen that.
You know,
we had the world convinced we were cute little kids.
My dad grew up on the road with his grandfather, or his father. My grandfather was the first chair trumpet player for the Tommy Tucker Band.
Oh,
and
cool.
And so he grew up, I mean, on his first few years, you know, he spent on the road doing that too. And he didn't go into music or anything. I mean, he played the trumpet, of course, but he didn't get into, he didn't get into, you know, the music business at all. But, you know, we were very, we grew up listening to all those people that you were saying. When you said Dinah Shore, I was like, oh, my God, I remember my mom watching Dinah Shore. She had some talk show or something, and I remember those albums, you know, sitting around. Gosh, it just brings back so many memories.
Yeah.
So
well, back in the 50s and 60s, they used to have 15-minute TV shows. And so people like Nat King Cole and Perry Como and stuff would have like 15-minute TV shows in the daytime where they'd sing and stuff. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was, you know, it just brings back so many memories having when you were listing those names. So that's the same kind of stuff that, you know, I remember my parents, playing and listening to. And then, of course, later my mom got really into Tom Jones and like Engelbert Humperdinck or whatever his name is. And, you know, and I remember my dad, oh my gosh, my dad was into all kinds of music. He loved jazz and he still listens to a lot of different music. But, there's just been so many different, you know, so many Frank Sinatra. Oh my gosh, Frank Sinatra. I was like, I used to hear Frank Sinatra so often. I thought I was going to like seriously kill myself one of these days to the Frank Sinatra tune, because it was just like, you know, constantly. And I was like, oh my gosh, because of course, you know, like back in the 70s and 80s when, you know, I was a teenager, you know, like a preteen and teenager, I was listening to completely different music. Frank Sinatra was like embarrassing. Oh my gosh, my parents are listening to Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was the same way until I grew up and went, wow, this was really
something.
I know,
that's how I am now. I listen to Frank Sinatra, I'm like, damn, that guy had a great voice. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
and you could understand
what
he was saying.
Talent.
Yes, he was.
Let me ask you about some of the places you're performing. Now, I know that you perform in a lot of elder care homes and things, you know, like I'm assuming it's a lot of, are they mostly that, or are they just like assisted living facilities? What
all of them.
You do?
We do independent assisted.
What's your attraction to that, or are those people just like really seeking out your music?
There's several reasons. First of all, we like to play music of the first half of the 20th century. So we like to play their music. And people want to hear music of their own life, you know, things that, you know. Yes, the things you grew up with. And I was thinking, when I get to be older, I don't know how many years away, but I'm thinking, I'm going to want to be listening to the music I know deep in my soul.
Right.
I'm going to want to hear things that I grew up with and I can relate memories to. And that's what people in their senior years want, too. And so we do that and we play for them and they say, you brought back so many memories for me.
Right.
Wonderful. And they're a great audience. They know how to listen, and they want to hear what we play, and they need it so much, because
right.
It's not always easy to find their music unless you're searching the internet and you're finding things like that. But they're not always doing that at that age.
Right.
So
no, right, absolutely.
And I will.
Yeah,
I'm going to let Mark talk in a minute too. But I just wanted to also add that as a teenager, never in a million years did I think I would end up playing for the elderly. As a teenager, it never occurred to me that I would do this, and God works in mysterious ways, because now I absolutely love it.
The thing that I would say is, you know, when we started doing it, it was trying to expand our playing opportunities, and it was a place to play. And now it's become a place where we actually see, if your show is about how music changes you, we get to see that every time we play. Like, we play at a lot of memory care units. And we get to see people that come in that are slouched in their chairs and look like there's no there's only a physical shell. And as we play, we see bodily changes. We see muscles grow back. We see people straighten up. We see people start to sing. We see the lights go on in their eyes. And, you know, after we're done, we've had so many experiences where, like, people come up to us and talk to us, like every day, like there's nothing. They'll tell us about their life. I remember in particular a man that came up and was talking about us, how much he liked us and how much he loved the songs and the songs he used to sing when he was young. And after he walked away, one of the attendants came up and said, "Joe's in the final throes of Alzheimer's disease and has not been able to say two words in the last 6 months." And, you know, so we see events like this where what we're doing has this major shift and major change in the awareness and the joy of people. And so, you know, I say to people, we'd really someday love to play to 500,000 people in Central Park with candles going and everybody swaying and singing our songs, our own songs with them, but nothing could make me want to quit doing what we're doing in the homes, because it's such a joy to see how life-changing music can be and is. So that's why we do it.
And to see those, I would think to see, you know, these people that, you know, the elderly people that are there, and to see the, like you were saying, how, you know, my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and I remember that darkness, you know, that there was nothing there anymore. And I think that that's not just with Alzheimer's. I think a lot of times just when you get older, you just don't, you know, so much is just your memories, you know. So when you guys are playing music that they can relate to, that they remember, that they've heard, you're probably bringing that light back into their eyes for a little while. And you're raising their energy, and it's got to feel amazing to be in the room.
It does. It does. And then the final thing is, you know, after we're all done, people come up to us and say, "We just love you kids." And at our age, to be called kids is kind of a real treat.
Yeah, I know. I like that. I like that too once in a while now. I remember when I was a kid, and now all of a sudden I have adult kids, and it makes me want to cry a little bit. All right, let me play the second song. Do you want to introduce the second song that I'm going to play?
Well, the first song you played refers back to this song. It's called "Let Me Be," and I wrote it in my early 20s. My sister and I and her son had moved to Denver, Colorado, and we had taken the first home we could get, and it was predominantly in a black neighborhood. And so we were watching the kids, our kids, out playing with the other kids in the neighborhood, and it was kind of a drizzly day, not a real rainy day, but a drizzly day, so they were outside playing together. And it just made me realize that there was hope in the world, that there was that we didn't need to see the surface things, that there was life much deeper than that. It made me feel like my mission in life was just to be a light. So the idea, "Won't You Let Me Be," and then "A Light That Opens Up Your Eyes to See the Glow of Love," and that, I think, is what, when I'm at my best, my mission is, and that's what this song's about.
Okay, this is Let Me Be, and we'll listen to a couple minutes of this. Everyone, here's Let Me Be.
By my window softly, looking at the rain, how I wish that all my tears could wash away the pain of all the world and all the senseless pain and dying but I know I can. So won't you let me be a light that opens up your eyes to see the glow of love, 'cause then we'll be like eagles soaring in the sky, shining from above. If your burden's heavy, won't you let me ease your load? Won't you let me wipe your sweating brow? And if your bones are weak and weary, please come rest a while, and I will comfort you somehow. So won't you let me be a light that opens up your eyes to see the glow of love, 'cause then we'll be like eagles soaring in the sky, shining from above.
Okay, that was Let Me Be. I wish I had a subtler way of ending the song, but it's either playing or it's not. I can't, like, fade out. I don't have a sophisticated system here to be able to fade out. Anyway, you think I can? Oh, I see. Yeah, I can see now my daughter with, who won't talk, who knows how to do all this stuff, isn't helping me. Anyway, that's, you know, one of the things I want to ask you guys about is, first of all, if I had to work with my husband, I would probably kill him. My husband's an airline pilot, so he travels a lot. You know, he travels all over the world. But when he's home, and it's like, ugh. You know, I mean, we're like either, and I work from home, so we're either tripping all over each other or we don't see each other at all. How do you make that work? And do you get frustrated ever, not just with each other, but with, you know, what's going on with, you know, your success? You know, I mean, I would imagine the dream is to get the music all over the world, you know, like most people want to with their when they're musicians. So I guess those are two questions. But first, start with how you haven't strangled each other yet.
She's a far better human being than I am. that's the way.
A lot of self-control.
No, actually, I think basically we really like each other and we like being together. She's my favorite human being on the planet, and by the time we were married, we were old enough that we'd decided to choose intelligently, not to make any comments on other people, but I like her. I think she's a wonderful human being, and she's my favorite person and my best friend, so
right,
that first is the, and we share a dream, and I think that is, we both share the same dream. And I think that is part of what makes it work and what also makes our marriage work because, you know, mostly our marriage is 99% of it pretty happy, pretty upbeat, but every once in a while money issues come along and things come along and frustration comes along. And then you go, well, God. And then you realize, but we share the same dream. And we tote the same barge and we lift the same bales and we're trying to do the same thing in life. And our life is about fulfilling each other's dream. So that, I think, makes it a whole lot easier than, say, two people that work at the same place or whatever. Because a lot of people's work isn't about doing what their dream is. A lot of people's work
right.
is about making sure that they have food on the table or
exactly.
or whatever it is. And in our case, our work is about being able to have the joy of living the life that we want.
Yeah, I think that's really nice because, you know, you have, you know, I always tell my husband always wanted to be an airline pilot. That's what he's always wanted to do is fly airplanes, and that's what he does for a living. And I tell him all the time, you have to realize how lucky you are. You're, you know, there aren't very many people whose passion is also a way that they can make a good living. So, you know, that's an amazing thing. So when the stuff comes up, when, you know, when things are slow, when the bills are hard to pay, what keeps you going? What keeps you able to keep doing music?
Oh, well, I have to say that choosing to go into music full time has really strengthened my prayer life. And I've always been a spiritual person, but this has intensified it a bit because I have to rely so much on my spiritual sense. And
you just have to keep believing. I mean, you know,
I
not
do.
To plug my
yes.
own radio show.
Just believe.
That's why it's kind of fit into your radio show.
Right, just believe, and believing that you're going to have this success, and believing that, you know, I mean, we all worry about money. I don't care how much money you have, you spend too much. I mean, we always spend, you know, if you make more money, your lifestyle, you know, changes, and you need more money. So, you know, it's always like that. So, until I think you get to a point where you just have a huge amount of money, which hasn't happened to me yet. So,
not us either.
Yeah, but so you're able to, you know, just have faith, really.
Yes.
And that's what keeps you going.
The other thing is sometimes faith is on the low side. Sometimes, you know, there's a course I've studied called A Course in Miracles, and in it there's a statement that says, there's no such thing as a lack of faith, it's what you put your faith into. And so sometimes actually you shift your faith from feeling like you're on the right path to those nagging voices that come in and say, well, you're making a mistake, you're stupid, you should have been an architect, or you should have taken over your dad's law business and everything would be
right.
Okay, and you'd have all the money. So you put your faith in the negative things, and then you have to restructure it back into the positive things. But you know, when the faith is low, dogged determination takes over. And I think I remember listening to a guy that was talking about educating and talking about students, and students would come up to him and ask him, should they plan on a music career or not? And his reply was always, if you aren't to the space where you absolutely have to do it, or you'll feel like part of your soul is dying, then don't do it. And I, you know, I've spent a lot of time, both of us have spent a lot of time working full-time jobs in the 9-to-5 world, or in our case, retail, the 10-to-9 world, you know, and when I did, it wasn't that it was a horrible job or anything, but it felt like I was killing little parts of my soul all the time, and then I'd rise up and do music again as a career, but you know, it's like, I think that if you really want to make a career out of music, you have to do it. You can't just want to do it. You also have to do it, because it has to be your life blood in order for you to keep the determination going to go against the grain, because making a career in the United States, and particularly in arts, is probably the toughest thing you can do.
For me, it feels like this is what I came to Earth to do, and my soul was not content until we started this full time. Then
right,
I finally
right.
felt this is right. Even though it was challenging, and it still is challenging,
right.
and there are some difficult times, it is so soul rewarding.
And I think the other thing is, you know, when the times get tough, we have each other. And you know, I've been a solo artist, and it's so much easier to have a soulmate and a partner with you on stage and toting all the stuff that you have to do and setting up everything and doing the work. It's a lot easier to have somebody there that you know will catch you when you fall. And I think both of us have that. And that is part of the thing that helps us go on. Because when either one of us gets a little low or down, usually the other person can kind of hold a hand out to pull us over the hump.
All right. I want to. Can you introduce the third song?
Yes. The next song is called "I Think It's Beautiful," and one of our favorite things to do is to go for walks. And we have a dog, so you might have heard him barking earlier. And, of course, we have to take him out in all sorts of weather. And I'm always kind of amazed when I see people outside walking and there's a beautiful sunset and they're not even looking. They're looking at their phone or they're looking at the ground. And I'm just so amazed by what nature has to offer us. And there's a little line in the song about the tiniest feather from a sparrow's head. And you look at that. And you just take the time to look. And it is such a little miracle. It's form and function. And there's just a million things out there that if you take the time to look at, are such a gift.
I know. I really like this. I really did like this song when I listened to it, and I had just put a blog post up the other day about, I think on Monday or Tuesday, about gratitude and just being, you know, take a minute, look around, smell things, you know, look at things, just, you know, don't go through existing. Actually take a minute and breathe it all in, you know, and when I heard this song, I actually thought of that blog post. So let me play a couple minutes of this for everybody. This is "I Think It's Beautiful." Again, no nice way to fade out of it, but that was "I Think It's Beautiful," and that's really upbeat, and it's again great lyrics. I love all your songs. I really do enjoy the lyrics a lot. And
I have to say that I could have written 50 verses for that song. I had to pare
it
down to three, but.
Yeah, I bet. Because it's just like, if you're really looking at your life from a gratitude standpoint, I would imagine you keep going on for all the things, things that are beautiful in your life, you know. So my daughter here, Kristen, has a question for you guys. And speak up, Kristen, and ask your question. Because now she's in college, and she's taking a lot of music courses in college. You did last year. I don't know if you're doing as much this year. And she works in the music industry. She watches them do recording and things like that it's called High Street Music. We'll give them a little plug. High Street Music in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. But Kristen, go ahead and ask Amy, mark your question.
I was just wondering what advice you would have for anyone, well, for me or anyone else like me looking to get into music or art or anything in the creative side and how to actually be successful in it.
Okay, I've got some advice.
How to be successful, we're not totally sure we can answer that.
Thanks for the question, Kristen. I'm glad to hear you're in school. I think school is something, if you can do it, by all means, educate yourself as much as you can, because you're never going to lose that, you know, unless you lose your mind. But if you were going to do, if you were going to do what we're doing, such as going out and being an independent musician playing music, this is what I wish somebody would have told me. I wish they would have told me to take an accounting class, because I did learn that in some jobs I had later. But it really is a necessary thing to know how to keep records and how to keep track of your financial life. The other thing which I really, really wish I would have known about was the marketing thing, how to market yourself. I'm still learning that one. That is a very difficult piece for me, because I'm, believe it or not, really sort of an introverted, shy person. Not always, but I lean towards that. And to get out there and say, look, everybody, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's really difficult. And that's one great reason that I have a partner who's better at that than I am. Marketing is pretty much going to be your bread and butter, is how to present yourself to the world and how to get your name out there. The other thing, like Mark already talked about earlier, is searching your soul and deciding, is can you live with the uncertainty every month of what's coming in? If you can, that's great. And if that's what you really, really have to do, great. Do it, and do it with all your heart, and be as good a musician as you can. And take some music classes on theory, because believe it or not, it is going to come in handy someday when you have to transpose something. It makes you more versatile as a musician. That's why we do so many styles, as we can play funerals, weddings, parties, old people, children, schools. Versatility is really good. And the other thing, marry rich. You have someone to support you. I'm just
she
joking.
She didn't do that.
I'm just joking.
I tell her that one all the time already, trust me.
The thing I would answer your question is, you. There is a point whether you decide you're a commercial artist or you're an art artist. And I'm not saying you can't do a little bit of both, but I'm a songwriter, and I have been writing songs since I was a little boy, and I have a muse. I have a feeling in my heart that tells me when a song is coming, and I listen to that, and I trust that. And in this world, there are people that are going to want to mold you and change you and turn you into the latest fad and the latest fashion. And that may be okay. That may, in fact, make you more money than it would be being an artist. But the thing to recognize is that fads are transitory and they die out. So pretty soon, people won't be riding wrecking balls on chains with no clothes at the MTV thing. They'll be fully clothed, and they'll be singing lyrics that matter and mean something again. And then that will be out of style. And so you have to determine whether you want to be a style follower or whether you want to be who you really are. And if who you really are is a style follower, then file the styles, be a Madonna, be one of those, and there's a place for those people. I'm not trying to put them down. But if you are an artist, then you need to follow and trust your own voice, that voice that is within you. And that means more than anything else that you're going to do. And when you feel that voice calling you, you have to succumb to that voice and go to wherever you have to do to finish that art, to finish that creation, because that voice is calling you and saying, and I don't know where that voice comes from. I don't know if it comes from God, if it comes from my own thing. I don't care. I believe it comes from beyond. I believe that it comes from someplace else. It's a consciousness from someplace else. But when it calls you, you need to heed that voice and follow it and go where it says to go and sit down and write or do whatever you have. And that, to me, would be my first advice. All the advice that Amy gave is very true. And in essence, if you want to make a living at it, you have to be somewhat commercial. That's reality. But
right.
you still have to, if you want to be an artist, you have to follow your own soul and you have to trust that voice. And it may mean that your time comes later. It may mean that you don't jump on a bandwagon. It may mean that you're actually alone out there in the ethers. But I think in the long run, you remain true to yourself. You remain stronger, and your time will come. That's my belief.
And also, yeah, if you looked for support from friends and family that love you, and that support, whether it's a little bit or a lot, is really helpful to buoy you up.
What do you think, Kristen?
I think all of those are pretty true from what I've seen anyway. And the business,
and what's
I mean,
with you? I mean, how do you feel about it in you?
I don't know. I think I still have to figure it out. I'm not exactly sure what I should be doing yet, but that's what I've been trying to find out.
Well, that's good.
You
and you've got a long way to go, too.
Well, and if it helps, I don't think you're ever sure. I don't think there's ever a point of resolution. I don't think there's ever a time that says, this is the way it's going to be forever, and you're going to be okay. I think that, you know, even with people that think they have a secure life and think they have, I mean, one of the things that's what's happening in America right now has shown me is that there is no such thing as this outward security. There is no such thing, because that can be taken away from us at any moment. Whether it's somebody just wanting to fire us so they can have our money, or whether it's somebody constricting, or whether it's something like 9/11, you know. So, it's to not know exactly is okay to step forward, you know, following an inclination or whatever without not actually being sure is all right, because you can always pull yourself back out of the water and go on a different trail.
Yeah,
that's all really good advice, and I think that, you know, no matter what you get into in life, you need those basic business skills as well. I mean, like Amy was saying, with the accounting and the marketing. I mean, the marketing experience for me has always been really very, very big in you know, creating my business and creating my radio show and having a book published and all of that. There's a lot of marketing that goes into all that, and I came from a world of marketing, you know, when I was you know, in my 20s and 30s. So I got to, use all that that experience, and it's really helped a lot. So, that's what I think that's what she's working on right now, is she's taking business courses, and where she's working, she gets to do the creative stuff, and she gets to do the actual behind the scenes kind of making of the music, you know, the production part of it and things. So she's getting a taste of a lot of things, and she just has to still figure out. And she's 19 years old. She just turned 19 years old. She's got lots and lots of time to figure it out.
Oh, the world is at your feet.
Yep, absolutely. I want to play the fourth song here. Do you guys want to introduce that?
Yes, this is a song that Mark wrote, and do you want to explain about it, Mark?
Well, in 1972, after we'd gotten back from trip on our second anniversary.
It wasn't 72. That makes
97.
Much,
thank
I'm
you.
Sorry. 1997.
1997. I'm sorry. Two year anniversary. Amy was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was a really scary time. And after we got back from her diagnosis, it was one of those early spring days. It was really beautiful and sunny, about 65 degrees. And we live across the street from a lake that has a beautiful trail, about a 3-mile trail around it. And we were walking around the trail, and I had this sense that even though I was scared, that if we stayed, like I say, it was a very sunny day, and there's trees around this path, and it almost is like you're walking through this tunnel of security and beautiful on a sunny day. And I felt like if I stay in this path, if I stay here and not, yes, I'm going to be afraid, and there's fear reaching into this path, but if I stay true to the non-fear, we'll make it through. And I went home and wrote the song called We'll Make It Through.
All right, everyone, listen, this is the fourth song on my list, We'll Make It Through.
We'll make it through somehow. We'll make it through somehow. Through the dark and through the rain. The sun is out to shine, though maybe time to time. The clouds may come our way. Seems the darkness. We'll make it through somehow, through the dark and through the rain. The sun is bound to shine, though maybe time to time. The clouds may come our way. Seems this burden is crushing on me.
Seems that heaven can't hear our plea.
But God is watching, and here's what he sees. Sweet life for you and me. We'll make it through somehow. We'll make it through somehow. Through the dark, through the rain. The sun is bound to shine, though maybe time to time. The clouds away.
That was a great song, and Amy, congratulations on making it through your breast cancer diagnosis, because obviously it's October and, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and that's a important thing to mention as well. It's a great song, and I can't wait to play the Christmas song, because I just love that song. I don't know. And I was just telling my daughter, I'm like, check and see how many days till Christmas. I had her look it up on her phone. There's like 65 days left. 65 days. 65 days. Oh, my gosh. I'm like,
year goes fast,
freaked out.
Doesn't it?
Christmas coming up. But anyway, I want to get into one of the main things you guys are working on right now. Is this movie about Gene Seberg. Can you tell us about Gene Seberg and how you got into this? I think it's called, the film's called Movie Star, The Secret Lives of Gene Seberg.
Yes. Before I do that, I want to put a quick plug in. On that last song, you heard a third harmony on there, and that was my little sister, Mary Adams, who has sung on every one of our albums and has done a lot of music with us. And, of course, I've been singing with her since I was two. And so I just wanted to put a plug in for the harmony. And also the guy who's been playing piano on all these songs, the name is Stephen Keither, and he has a great studio down in Arkansas called Panther Creek Recording. If you're down in that area, he's wonderful to work with. But your question about candle in my window? Or
no,
what was your question? I'm sorry.
I'm wondering about
the movie.
The,
oh, the movie.
How you
I'm
got
sorry.
Involved on in the Gene Seberg film?
Yes.
Who is she
I'm
and
from
how did you get involved in the movie?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? I'm from Marshalltown, Iowa, where I grew up. Jean Seberg was from Marshalltown, Iowa. Her father's name was Ed Seberg, and he owned a pharmacy. Their family was friends of my family, and I worked in his pharmacy when I was going to college. And at that point in time, Jean was a major Hollywood actress. She'd just come off of a movie with Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood called Paint Your Wagon. She'd also been in lots of other movies for... At that point, it was about 1969, 70, and in 1957, Gene answered a call from a famous director by the name of Otto Preminger, and he'd put a little commercial out that showed up in the theaters where he was asking for women all over the world to come and screen test to be the fresh new face for St. Joan of Arc in a movie about St. Joan. And 18,000 women throughout the world answered this call, and over a year period, Jean, they weeded out everybody but her, and she became the star of a Hollywood movie, and this was while she was still at college at Iowa University. And she had come out to New York to try acting, and it just hadn't worked, so she'd gone back to college, and somehow... they found her, so she starred in a movie, and this was when she was 17 years old. There's a long history about her in the 60s and in the 70s. She was very supportive of the civil rights movement, and there were people in power that didn't like that, particularly J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI. So they started rumors about her. She was pregnant at the time, and they started the rumor that she'd had an affair with a Black Panther, and that the child was going to be a Black child, which wasn't true. But she ended up miscarrying the child, and she wanted to have a funeral in Marshalltown, Iowa, and it was an open casket funeral, and she wanted somebody to sing at the funeral. And it was at the time I was working for her father, and her father knew I sang, and so he recommended me, and I sang it at the funeral, and it was a pretty tragic, surrealistic experience. But we became friends after that. She later, unfortunately, committed suicide in 1979, but there are people... that were making a movie, and I'd written a song called I'm Flying, and it was a song that was about trying to capture a 17-year-old girl with dreams and all the voices that float through her head, the voices that said, I want to chase this. I want to be a Hollywood actress. It's what I've wanted to do my whole life, and here's my chance. And it's also the voices for conformity of the people that said, well, acting's not a good career, it's not a safe career, you don't want to do that, you want to be a good girl and get married and do what you're supposed to do. And so that was a song I was telling you about that Amy was the voice for. And so we recorded it on our first album in 1998. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, we heard some people were in my hometown, Marshalltown, filming for a documentary about Jean and her life. And so I contacted them, sent them the song. They loved it. And for about 3 or 4 years, we kind of just talked in email. And then a couple years ago, they came and interviewed me for the movie. And then so the movie is going to premiere in November at my hometown at a theater there. And they are using our music as the music for the movie, and they've since become friends of ours, and it's really an exciting thing. In a month, our music is going to be in a movie.
That's amazing.
So that's the story.
That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it does, and so that's the story so far.
So,
So it's set to be set to premiere on
November
15th.
Yeah.
Right. And where is that happening?
It's at the Orpheum Theater Center in Marshalltown, Iowa.
Okay. All right. And to find more out, anybody, to the listeners, if you want to find more out about that movie, you can go to www.GeneSeebergMovie.com, GeneSeebergMovie.com, and there'll be detail there about that. So that's kind of an exciting thing for you guys, I'm sure, to be part of.
Gene in America is maybe not as well known anymore as she was, but she is still a huge icon in England and in France because she was in a lot of French films. She lived in Paris after she became a star. And as a matter of fact, at her gravesite, every week they have to clean off all the flowers and the mementos and everything. Otherwise, it would be too big. So she is recognized even today as a fashion icon. She was in a movie called Breathless, which is considered a movie that changed film history. So it's in rankings of, say, the 100 top films of all time. It always shows up as one of the major influential films of history. And so she's a well-known icon around the world.
All right. It sounds like it's going to be a really interesting movie, and that's going to be opening on November 15th. So anybody interested in learning more about that, visit the website GeneSeebergMovie.com. I want to play, like I said, I want to make sure I get to play this Christmas tune because I really liked it when I heard it, and it is already, gosh, the end of October almost. Mind-blowing. I don't even know what the date is. What's today now? 18th, 19th? I don't even know. But it's the 20th?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So we are really moving right through October quick, too. So anyway, this can you tell us about this song?
Well, I think if you listen to the great Christmas songs, a lot of them have a certain melancholy in them, because Christmas is this joyous time, and it's a time of love, and it's a time of peace. And we look out our windows and we see, actually, there doesn't seem to be much peace and much joy in the world. And we're still waiting for the era when there will be, or what you want to call the age of Aquarius, or the age of God, or whatever you want to call it, the age where we finally figure out that, you know, actually, if we help each other and we take care of each other, the world would be a lot better place if we just put our weapons down and unshoulder our guns and turn the other cheek and do what it takes to live out the dream of peace. And I think, like you think of White Christmas or you think of I'll Be Home for Christmas, there's always this little longing that the real Christmas present that you want, which is love and peace, still isn't quite here. And that's kind of what that's the song.
Okay, what's the name of the song?
Candle in My Window. I Got a Candle in My Window.
All right, everyone listen to I've Got a Candle in My Window.
Mm-hmm. Now it's Christmas time. Got a candle in my window, shining out on the world. Shine on us tonight. Please make just make a happy new year to me.
Okay, that's Candle in My Window. I really like that one. I found it to be, I don't know, I just, when I listen to it, I just, you know, it's nice to hear newly written Christmas songs, because so much of the time we're replaying the same things, you know, the sounds. It's just somebody else singing the old songs, you know, in a different way. And I love hearing a new song, a new Christmas song. So I really like that one.
Thank you.
I want to talk about your other campaign you've got going on, which is Lights On. You guys want to tell everybody a little bit about that?
Yeah. Go,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What we spoke about earlier was playing in homes for the elderly, and we do all levels. We do the independent seniors, which is always a lot of fun, and the assisted living, and that's always fun, and then the nursing care and the Alzheimer's patients. And what we found, as we said earlier, is that these folks really, really need music. It really helps animate them again. And we have found that there's often cuts in music programs, and they just can't afford to pay somebody enough, really, to come in to play, or they don't have a budget for music, or they just really need volunteers to come in and play. As full-time musicians, as much as we wish we didn't need money to do our work, unfortunately our bills don't agree with that. The bills come in, and we need to make an income, and we've found it very challenging doing that with playing elder care, even though we absolutely love doing it. So,
and some of the places that we were playing have cut funding.
Right.
Because when they cut funding, they usually don't cut football, and they usually don't cut, you know, that sort of stuff. They cut the arts. And so there's been a lot of places that we used to play, and we that can't afford anything anymore. So we started a campaign of crowdfunding, which is where we try to get our fans and new fans to donate, and then we go into a place and do a free show. And so we've raised some funds, and we've done now, I think, 6 free shows, and we'd like to do 100 free shows. That's kind of our goal, in to raise enough money to do 100 free shows and to turn lights on. The reason we call it Lights On is because we actually see music turn the lights on in the eyes and the souls of the people that we play for. And that's what makes it invaluable. And so through the kindness of people, we've been able to go into homes that maybe don't get as much entertainment as they need and turn some lights on. And Lisa, I don't have the website, but I think you have it on our information there. Maybe.
Yeah, it's www.go. I'm pretty sure this is it. I don't think there's a simpler way of doing this, because it's a GoFundMe, and they all have their slash is all kind of strange, but it's www.gofundme.com, the number 2, NCBIW. So gofundme.com/2NCBIW.
You can also Google Amy and Adam's Lights On, and it'll come up there too.
I believe we also have the information on our website.
And what's your website address? I don't seem
our
to have that on here.
Is www.amyandadams.com. AmyandAdams.
I did visit the website, and on the website there are things, you know, there are links to a lot of the different things you've got going on, as well as, you know, your story and everything. And I believe, you know, even you even post any places you're going to be playing, you know, any upcoming shows you have and things like that. So everybody definitely wants to visit Amy and Adam's website And definitely do a search on that Lights On GoFundMe, because you're doing a beautiful thing there working with the elderly. And I love the fact that you call it Lights On because of the fact that the lights come on in their eyes. And we talked about that earlier, you know, that whole just lighting, you know, having the being able to see someone's eyes light up, that really, you know, they live for the memories of, you know, of their younger years. So I love that. Now I have one more song I want to play. This is I don't know what this is. What is
it's
this
called
that I'm
one
gonna
by
play this?
One.
One by One. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One by One, everyone. I'm gonna play this, and then we'll come back and you guys can tell anything, you know, we'll go through anything else you guys want to say, and we'll be closing the show after that. But everybody listen to One by One.
I'm just a man who was born to this world to give all my love away. The more that I'm given, the less I feel this. Makes me feel just like giving all day. So I'll travel the byways that lead to men's hearts as I build on my brighter the day. One by one we will heal all the hate in this world. One by one we will melt it away. One by one we will heal all the hate in this world. One by one we will melt it away. The damp side is life, I have sometimes felt lost. At times I felt quite betrayed. My fear and my hatred were held at such cost, and they always led me astray. So I'll look for the gleaming that comes from the soul of each person that passes my way. One by one we will heal all the hate. One by one we will melt it away. One by one we will heal all the hate in this world. One by one we will melt it away. Oh dear sister and brother, won't you please walk with me on this road that we call pure love's peace. For on it there's comfort from the pain we perceive, healing from each heart's disease. And we'll build us a new road, all wounded hearts. In our love we will wrap them to stay. One by one we will heal all the hate in this world. One by one we will melt it away. One by one we will heal all the hate in this world. With our love we will melt it away. La 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 la.
All right, that was One by One. I love that song too. All your songs are so great. I really do enjoy listening to. You know, I've always been like a rock, you know, rock country music. I love country music. I appreciate so many other kinds of music. There's no way, like if you looked at my, you know, my iPhone where I keep all my music, I have such, I have classical stuff on there. I there's blues, you know, there's just such a wide range of things I like to listen to. And, you know, when I listen to your, to, you know, what you guys were doing, it's just inspiring. It's just uplifting, upbeat and inspiring. And I really appreciate your being on today and sharing your talents and your gifts with us. Do you guys have anything else you're promoting, anything you want to reiterate that we talked about?
I wanted to say one thing. Most of the songs we did today were mine, and Amy, we only did one of hers, and she writes wonderful, beautiful songs, and she has the best voice I know of, and so I guess...
Well, I consider Mark's songs mine as well.
Well, that's
so
true.
I take as much pride in them because I was there in the recording of it, and when you share a dream and a goal, you share each other's work as well.
And do you guys play background for each other, or are you usually on each other's songs?
No,
we always do the backgrounds or have equal harmonies going or something. So,
and she plays guitars and I play guitars and she plays keyboards and penny whistle and harmonica and I play mandolin, ukulele and stuff. And then we also have, like especially our last two albums, we've always hired other musicians to play like bass and drums and stuff like that. And so, because neither one of us is a good bass player or a drummer.
So I would invite people again to check out the website at amyandadams.com, and all of our CDs, we have 5 CDs available online, and you can click on little segments and hear what the songs sound like, and there's lots of good stuff on there.
So are they downloadable by album or by song, or how do you have it set up?
You can either do it the album or the song. Some people still like CDs, so you can order the CD.
I did all the artwork on the CDs, so yes, if you order the CDs, you get the artwork too on the cover.
Yes,
Amy's an artist.
Go to amyandadams.com and look at, listen to all the different songs. Amy sent me some of them, and I, grabbed a few and uploaded them. But I listened to all of them, and they're all so, so good. It was, it's hard choosing, like, what you're going to be able to play. And some of them, like, I love the ending of some of them, and we couldn't really play just the ending, So, like,
yeah.
You really need to, you definitely need to, and everybody's going to like their own thing. Everybody's going to kind of like their own, they have their own taste, and they're going to like, different
sure.
songs you guys do, because it is so eclectic. There is such, a collection of very eclectic music. You don't fit into a typical genre. I mean, it's just.
We invented that eclectic folk rock Tin Pan Alley bluesgrass, so we'd have it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, there's so many, every one of the songs is different. I mean, and it would kind of be classified in its own genre. So it's anybody that's listening, when you go visit the site, listen to the clips of all the different songs, and you choose what you like. But
if you like different genres like we do, then if you like variety, you'll find some variety.
We're also
Absolutely.
Available on iTunes too.
Great, okay.
You
great.
Can download us on iTunes as well, if you want to.
All right, so that's Amy and Adams, everyone. Definitely visit their website, amyandadams.com. Check out the movie that's coming out. It's called Movie Star, The Secret Lives of Gene Seberg. And go to GoFundMe.com/2NCBIW or Google Lights On, Amy and Adams Lights On, and you'll find their campaign. Let's make sure we keep them, entertaining in these elder homes, because these elder care facilities, they live for this kind of thing. They live for these talents, these young whippersnappers to come in and play their music for them. They're living for that. There's not a whole lot, they don't get to see their family as much maybe as they want. So they really are looking forward to the entertainment that they get through the facilities. And these guys, Amy and Adam, the group, and Amy and Mark are not getting paid to do these things. This is not something that you make money off of playing in an elder care facility.
No, we need to be clear. We do. In some places, we do make money. It isn't very much. It isn't probably what we regularly make at a regular gig. And so we don't want to say that every time we play at an elder care home, it's a voluntary thing, because it's not. But when you do the lights on thing, it is totally free. We don't charge the home then when those people do that. And occasionally we do free shows at home too, but I want to be clear that we do get paid at a lot of the elder care homes that we play at. It's just half to a third as much as we normally get paid. So, you know, it's a gift and a pay both.
Well, it's a great cause. It's a great campaign, and I encourage everyone to check it out. And I really appreciate both of you being on the show and sharing your music with us, and I hope that you'll come back. You know, keep me posted on anything you guys are doing, and you know, maybe you can come back sometime soon and play some new stuff you guys create.
Okay, and Kristen, good luck to you. It was nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
All right, I appreciate you guys calling in. Everyone,
thank
this
you,
has been Amy and Mark Adams Weston. They are Amy and Adams, and you can visit their website at amyandadams.com, where you'll find all the information about them and their music. And they have been a wonderful guest today, and I really appreciate their being on the show and being with us. And so next week on the show, we're going to be talking reflexology, reflexology for lots of different things, actually. I'm really interested in the show, this next week's show, because they're actually, we're covering reflexology for using, you know, foot, hand, ear, for weight management, for fertility, for pain management. All these different uses for something as simple like reflexology, which is something that you can obviously go to a reflexologist and have a session done, or you can do yourself. So we're going to be talking about that holistic health, holistic healing method, reflexology using your fingers, your feet, your hands, and your ears next week. So definitely join us for that. And today, like I said, was a great show with Amy and Adams. And next week we'll have another great show. This has been Just Believe Radio. Again, we're on every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have different guests covering all different types of topics. So everyone, my name is Lisa Tarvis. Don't forget to check out my webpage, www.lisatarvis.com. You'll find links to my Facebook pages, my Twitter page, my LinkedIn page, and links to where you can find my book called Just Believe on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Balboa Press, all over, anywhere you can buy a book, you can find my book. Check out my website. I just did a redesign. Let me get that done, and I just started my blog. So I put some fun stuff on the blog, and hopefully everybody will get a chance to check that out. I want to thank my little quiet co-host here, my daughter Kristen, for being on this show and petting my puppy, my little Shih Tzu. While we're keeping him quiet while we've been on this show today. It was really a lot of fun, and everybody, please join us next week and every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening to the archives, don't forget to visit www.amyandadams.com, and don't forget to visit my website, lisatarvis.com. Until next week, everyone, thank you very much for listening, and keep believing. Bye.